This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Transitioning to the frozen ice.
Nice.
Capitals will have the playoffs in a month. We're going to be talking playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And Ovi's chase for greatness continues. He scores against San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it wasn't from his office.
It was not. It was a nice tip in right from about 5 feet in front of the goalie.
Really nice goal. They beat San Jose 5-1, which was a bounce back because they had been shut out, blanked by the Kings.
They had a classic letdown game of the three-game road swing. They punished the Ducks, and then Darcy Kuemper stoned them in the middle game, and then they smacked around the Sharks.
Well, they were hanging out in Beverly Hills, probably at some fancy restaurant.
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably stayed out late. They just weren't ready to play.
But they won six out of their last seven.
But San Jose's terrible.
Yeah, they're not very good.
What is the projected date now to pass Gretzky?
Ooh, I'm going to have to look that up.
You got your tickets for the Islanders game on the road.
I have my tickets confirmed. They're in my Google wallet. Mm. I'm good to go.
Is there any chance he breaks the record on Thursday? Because I'm going on Thursday night.
This Thursday?
Yeah, can he score 8 goals?
I mean, if he scores 4 or 5 on Tuesday night, then you have a legitimate sweat. But I'm going to guess he's not going to score 4 or 5 against the Red Wings on Thursday.
I need 2-4 pieces.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. It's probably not.
So he needs
happen.
8 in 15 games.
Yes,
I'm going to say. I'm going to say the projection's probably in that Columbus back to backer.
I think I'm at game number 9. So he needs to go on like a 0.8 goals
you
per
need
game.
A Hattie.
I need a Hattie this week or a multi goal game.
You need a Hattie, maybe an empty netter in there. You don't care along the way.
If there's a multi goal game this week, my road trip to the Islanders April 6th is squarely in play.
Yeah.
If he doesn't score like over the next two games, then I kind of like Jason's prediction for either
the Columbus game
at Columbus, which I think is the 12th, and then they do a back-to-back or
Masters weekend.
13th.
So obviously the
you're
going
to watch the Masters over Ovi and Columbus.
Yeah, I'm so sure.
The focus is on the goals and that record. But over the weekend, I noticed Capitals PR promoting he is now third all-time in hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's 300 from being number one in NHL history in hits.
Right. That's pretty damn impressive. I mean, it just shows you the physicality that he plays with and continues to play with close to the age of 40. He just still levels dudes and crunches guys against the boards. So that is impressive.
Did you see the beatdown that Tom Wilson gave over the weekend?
I saw the highlights.
Can you imagine having to fight Tom Wilson?
No.
I think the guy that lost was in the sin bin and said he wanted to go again.
Nice. I'm going to have to look up
He
wanted to lose again?
He got destroyed.
Love it.
Cakes, what happens if, and I think I asked Cakes this on Friday, what happens if he breaks the record against Columbus here on the 13th, and you have the game against the Islanders the following day?
No, no, my game against the Islanders is the 6th.
Oh, it's not the 15th.
No, I'm not going to that game.
All right.
No, he needs Ovi to pick up the pace.
I need Ovi to score like a madman over the next.
Well, let me ask you this: what if he?
I definitely
games.
Need that.
What if he breaks it? What if he breaks it against Chicago on April 4th?
I mean, I'll still go to the game.
You're still going
to
go.
I have tickets. It's a sunken cost. I've already spent over $500 on the tickets.
Oh my god!
And I spent $90 for a parking pass. I'm pot committed.
Well, then you're going to stay overnight.
It's a Sunday 12:30 puck drop. I'm planning on being back the next day.
Factoring all the tolls, by the way.
Oh, all the tolls. I mean, driving to Long Island, that's probably $35 each way. Minimum.
Minimum. Plus gas.
Maybe 40.
Well, then you have to get a hotel room if you're coming back the next day.
No, no. I'm planning on coming back same day.
Oh, you said the next day.
It's an early puck drop.
Okay.
It's 12:30 puck drop. Game will be over by 3:30. 4 o'clock at the latest.
So you get back at 9-ish.
Yeah.
I don't think he would do this, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's say Ovi breaks the record in the regular season.
$20 for nachos in the stadium, too, in the UBS Arena.
Yeah, don't forget that. It's a $700 night.
it's an excursion.
Life's about experiences.
Sure.
I don't blame you for doing it at all. I think it's great.
I do blame you if he breaks it.
If Ovi breaks the record in the regular season.
Yes.
Hopefully he does that, because it sucked to like wait all the way till next season
right.
for like one or two goals. And then they win the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Would he retire?
Does he just skate off into the...
I think he's already said that he's not going to sign an extension.
He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Now, that might mean he just wants to enter free agency.
He's not a free agency. There's no free agency. He's going to wear a cap sweater his entire career.
I know,
Going to the KHL I'm just saying for when he's 50.
But in terms of bargaining positions, yeah. I don't want to do an extension. He might just be free agent, sign a one-year deal, whatever.
Depends on how his body feels. Yeah. I think he's just going to play out the contract.
I think he's going to play the extra year because he'll
have a farewell for
900-plus goals. He's not going to stop just short of 900.
No.
Like he's going to have 925 or 930 by the end of his contract, maybe more.
And that will be unbreakable.
I think it would be unbreakable, but people thought Gretzky's record was unbreakable, too.
That's true.
For a long time.
But I'm going to guess if he gets to 925, that's unbreakable.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
To all that celebrate.
Some people get threatened by six-year-olds in the morning.
Well, maybe we'll play that audio. We right now are really fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our friend Mr. Joe B. Joe Beninati, Caps play-by-play voice. Joe B., how are you, man? Happy St. Patty's.
If it's not rude, it's not right.
There you go. There you go.
Damn right, Joe. You've been on the road, man. How was that West Coast trip for you?
That wasn't that rude. No,
the West Coast trip was good.
You know what was rude though? Honestly, the weather. You look forward to good weather in California, and especially in March if it's been a little bit frigid back here. And honestly, guys, it rained. I want to say 5 of the 6 days that we were out there.
Wow!
And so that was a bit rude. But all in all, the team played well. Took 2 of 3. Alex got a goal to come home with. The points keep rising for this team. They're in a great place in the Metro and in the Eastern Conference. So all in all, a good trip.
A quick aside here, Joe. When you go on a week-long Cali trip like that, will you bring your golf clubs, or is that just not done on a hockey trip?
JP, honestly, in 30 years of hockey in the NHL and even before that in the American Hockey League, I have never brought my sticks on a trip.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Ever. Yeah. Ever.
So yeah, it's we don't eat it. It's over.
I know it's a baseball thing. I know the guys bring it up quite a bit. You know, if you're going to go and be in Anaheim for 3 or 4 days, and I know the baseball pitchers are all single-digit handicaps or plus handicaps.
Yeah.
But no, I've never brought my clubs. It's just, it's not the thing.
Brian and I don't bring our clubs either. We just rent them. It's a lot
Atta
easier.
Boy.
No, so. I bring mine. I have special grips. I don't like those little skinny grips.
all right, so let's start with the chase. Got our friend Joe Beninati on the line. Look, Ovi's now 8 goals away. Obviously, it's a national story. It's something my kids are really excited by. Everybody's really excited by it. Do you think, how does Ovi feel about it?
I think he's excited because when he scores, the team tends to win. And that's been basically the mantra for the coaching staff and for this entire roster. You know, it's like almost one hand washes the other. When they play well, Alex tends to score. When Alex tends to score, they tend to win. So one hand washes the other there. I think when I see Alex from day to day, I know he wants to get this done. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily like, I've had enough of this. I want to put it past me. I'm bored. He's not bored by it in any stretch, but it can be overwhelming in that every new city we go to, everybody, that's the first thing you want to talk about.
And
it's understandable.
Questions.
It's an all-time record. It is phenomenal history, what we're seeing here. And this is a guy who normally when he gets close to individual milestones, he tends to break those doors down very quickly. And all of a sudden, he's got a dozen goals in his last 17 games, and he's 7 from tying, 8 from breaking. You've got 15 games left. You do the math. It's within reach.
Yeah.
And I get the sense that he would prefer to slam through and break through that wall and climb the hill this year.
I think, and the thing of it, he's so focused on what's happening at the moment that I don't think people even understand that he don't give himself a chance to start looking forward. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely, B. Mitch. It's a day-to-day thing. And again, I keep coming back to the sayings and the teachings and the mantra that Spencer Carberry has given this team every step of this season as they were exploding in the first 2 months, as they've been continuing to climb and look for the overall division championship, the Eastern Conference, the President's Trophy, the record for Alex. He keeps coming back to stay in the moment.
Yeah.
Stay in the moment. He keeps hammering that home to the guys. Well, stay in the moment is focused upon Detroit, a team that's really going to come in desperate to play good hockey tomorrow since they're on the bubble right now with regard to the wild card. Stay in the moment. Focus on trying to beat them, and things will take care of themselves.
So, Joby, it's interesting you talk about that. They've got the Red Wings tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. I imagine, are all these games kind of starting to sell out now? Or even just to watch Ovi at the, maybe they were sold out anyway, but I feel like these ticket prices are really going to start jumping as more and more folks want to be there for that historic moment.
Yeah, I completely understand that. I have friends telling me that, wow, the ticket prices are jumping and the buildings are full. The buildings are very much, if not at capacity, wherever we go, whether assuredly in D.C., but very much so on the road. And what I do notice even more and more, it's not that Caps fans don't travel well, but Caps fans have been traveling extremely well in the last month or so. It's not hard to get Caps fans to want to go to the games in California, but you know they tend to travel really well in places like Denver. I know Vegas is a hot spot all the way around, but you'll see more and more Caps fans, especially on these farther west trips than we've seen. And I think a lot of hockey fans in general are throwing on Capitals colors, and more often than not, that has a number 8 on the back of it because of what he's achieving and what he's close to accomplishing.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Talking with Joe Beninati here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Joe a follow at JoeBPXP. Make sure you're watching him every night on Monumental Sports Network. So, Joe, I'm looking at the standings, and I'm starting to watch this because we're gonna be on the road for these playoff games and all this stuff. If the season ended today, the Caps would play the Rangers, I believe.
Absolutely right.
But there's so much more hockey to play, and that bottom of the wild card is so jumbled up. But I can't help but notice a couple of these win streaks. The Hurricanes have won 7 in a row. Ottawa's won 6 in a row. I mean, I feel like hockey is so important how hot you are coming into the playoffs. How do you see kind of where the East is at right now?
Well, you're talking about that wild card bubble. You've got 5 teams separated by 4 points.
Yeah.
From the Rangers to the Canadiens to the Blue Jackets to the Red Wings to the Islanders. So nothing is done there. And it sure looks like Washington, you would expect, unless there was a really precipitous fall from grace there, that the Capitals appear to be the number one seed in the East, and they would play that second wild card. So as of right now, that would be, as of today, the New York Rangers. Yes, it's all about being hot at the right moment. JP, I agree with you. There are some things, I think that any way you look at it, I could find an uncomfortable matchup in any of those 5 or 6 teams that we just itemized. As far as a first round, yes, the Caps would definitely be the prohibitive favorite against a Rangers team, but facing Igor Shesterkin in a best of 7, the Rangers' outstanding goalie, would make things a little uncomfortable. That's okay. You're gonna need to get over some hurdles if you're gonna go where you want to go. If you're gonna want to win it all, it's not gonna be smooth and 4 straight sweeps. It's just not likely to ever happen like that. So I could find difficulties in any first round, second round matchup. You mentioned Carolina. I am always of the opinion that Rod Brind'Amour's team is an extremely difficult out. They play the game ferociously. They have tremendous team speed. Their forecheck is a real pain in the butt. They would be uncomfortable in that second round were you to get through the first. There's always they're always tough matchups all the way through. And then if you got to the third round, yeah, you know, what's waiting for you from the other side? I think a lot of people would sit there and tell you that the 3 teams that possibly come out of the Atlantic, whether they be Toronto, Florida, Tampa, would all present an interesting matchup for whomever comes into that conference final. I sure think most people are starting to believe in Washington now as, hey, you know what? This team really looks like a Final Four kind of team, a championship round 3 conference final type team. I sure hope that's the case, and I hope that they'll be battle-tested along the way. They've found a way to do things throughout the season, whether it was early in the year, guys, when they would just beat your brains in with offense. In the last month or so, they found a way to rally back and win games, so many of them in the third period. They'll be playing. The key thing is to be playing the right way and get hot at the right time once April starts to roll around.
Yeah, I think it's more like the other teams play well, but this team has to worry about what it's doing, not what somebody else is doing.
Sure. B-Mitch, yeah. All the coaches always say it's not about the opponent, it's about us.
Yeah.
Now, every coach in every sport, regardless, across the board, well, are you worried about what they're going to be? No, I worry about what we do.
True.
And if the Washington Capitals play the way they've been playing for the first 5 months of the season, they'll be in really good shape. And that's got to be at the top of the to-do list for the coaches, the captains, the leadership group of this club that's been so good. They've really played beautifully over the course of 67 games, and I don't expect that to change.
It's funny. One of my favorite moments in the Commanders, in that building, in that locker room, was earlier this year before they were going to play Detroit in the divisional round. And we were talking to Quan Martin, and he said something about facing the Lions in Detroit. He's like, yeah, man, they're really good, but we're good too. Like,
yeah.
it's got to be driven from inside your own dressing room, locker room, go. Clubhouse. And to that point, Joe, the 2 best teams in hockey – I kind of love how removed these are, but it's Washington and it's Winnipeg. And if you look, remember last year that the Caps got into the playoffs with a negative goal differential, and that was a big storyline? That ain't the case this year. They're plus 69 in goal differential. The only team with a better goal differential than them is Winnipeg at plus 81, which is crazy. The Caps right now have 96 points on the season. The Jets have 98. Like, this thing for the President's Trophy is going to come down to the wire. And there's a game next week, Washington at Winnipeg. How'd you start? Like, that thing should be pretty supercharged, right?
Absolutely. Winnipeg's fabulous. Again, team speed, five-man concepts, all the offense that they can throw at you. Perhaps the game's best goalie, if you break it down, I think Connor Hellebuck is likely to win his third Vezina in his career. Winnipeg has had playoff issues. They've had demons swirling around them, but there's no questioning what they've done this regular season. The two teams met a few weeks ago in D.C. Winnipeg won in overtime. And the thing I will tell you, JP and B. Mitch, about the Jets and their home arena, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Salt Lake City might be smaller by total capacity because necessarily it's not necessarily built for hockey. But the Winnipeg rink, I don't know, maybe seats 15,000. It sounds like 150,000 in there. It's really loud. The crowd is right on top of you. So, yes, if that's the marquee matchup coming up in Winnipeg in a week or so's time, that's going to be amazing, amazing theater to watch. Those two teams have been, by far, heads and shoulders, the best in their respective conferences. No disrespect to Dallas and Colorado, two teams that got a whole lot better around the trade deadline. But it's been Washington and Winnipeg battling for that President's Trophy for quite a while.
Well, Joe, just so you know, the official stance of the B. Mitch and Finley radio program is we've never heard anything nice about Winnipeg. Ever. Now, a lot of that is we just have never heard anything about Winnipeg, but we've never heard anything nice, and we have nothing nice to say about them. And honestly, I can't wait for that game. So it's kind of crazy just from a straight scheduling thing. The Caps just had this big Cali trip. Now they're back, and then there's one more big road trip, right? It's like it's Winnipeg and then Minnesota within a week, and then everything – There's some more roadies, but it's everything's pretty close, like travel-wise. Things kind of settle down into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, that was the stretch that we just concluded in California. Those were the last games against the Pacific Division for the Caps this season. You mentioned Minnesota and Winnipeg. One more whack of frosty cold and windy weather. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the road trips are all within short distances with plenty of time to spare in terms of day on, day off, days of rest. I know down the stretch, the Caps do finish with their last two on the road. I want to say it's another trip to Long Island, and they finish up in Pittsburgh to end the regular season. But from a schedule standpoint, knock on wood, it seems very, very manageable. That Minnesota-Winnipeg trip will be difficult. Those two teams are very, very good. Minnesota's been especially good on the road like the Caps. And Winnipeg, as we mentioned, they've just been all around league beaters this season. Their style of play, their size, it's funny. We go from rink to rink. The Caps are such a big team, height and weight-wise. Mm. They did not look overwhelmingly bigger than the Jets. So, again, if you're built that way, most general managers will say, those bigger, stronger, heavier teams are tougher to play against over the course of seven-game series. There's a reason why you do it that way. And I think both of them, Winnipeg and Washington, both have a lot of things in common.
It seems like it. Well, we will be watching that game.
All of them.
Everybody, make sure you give Joe B a follow at Joe B PXP. Watch the Caps games. Just doing a great job. And
Joe, what special bottle you have for the night that the record is broken?
Ooh,
nice, great question, B-Mitch. Great question. Love it. I don't think there aren't any very many Russian Cabernets that I have downstairs in the cellar. I wish I could bring a Russian Syrah up for that one, but we'll have to do something.
I got an idea, Joe.
Go for it.
What about Russian River Valley?
See, now we're going great Pinot. I love it.
I'm trying to think outside the box.
You just did. You nailed it. You just nailed it. So this guy's almost 40 years old. Let's see. We've got to try. Maybe we could do something by special vintage. I like it, B. Mitch. You've given me a homework project to do.
I know you love your wine, man.
I love that. Joe, last thing. Obviously, you are synonymous with Capitals hockey. And we had Alan on, I don't know, last week, 2 weeks ago. And everybody's praying for Locker. I'm seeing the updates on Instagram and stuff. He's obviously improving. But I do want you to know that you and Alan have been great. And obviously that's a big change, but we're still enjoying it. And I'm praying like hell that Ovi breaks it on a monumental game.
Yeah, we all are. And obviously, with regard to Craig, everything that matters with Craig is just about getting back to full health. It's sure. all about his recovery. And I've texted with him recently, and would you believe this son of a gun's telling me he's already back starting to pedal away on the Peloton?
I believe that
must,
honestly.
That must be a good sign from the doctors and his care team that they've given him the green light to do that.
Yeah.
He wants desperately to be back for the time that Alex does break the record. In the meantime, Alan's done a great job. We threw him into the deep end of the pool here. And he's done incredibly well. His timing gets better and better with each telecast that we work on. And I know that they're both rooting for each other. Alan is hopeful that, yes, we do have that live game on Monumental. Yes, that locker is well enough to be in the booth, 100% with all safety and everything with regard to his health. At the same time, the great people at Monumental and the Caps and the league have come up with a way for us to be involved for archive purposes. If it falls on one of those four remaining national exclusives, we'll be there. We'll be calling it basically into a tape machine, and we'll have the ability to play it back shortly thereafter in social media platforms, play it back as a Capitals classic broadcast, if you will, on Monumental. We won't interfere, obviously, with the exclusivity of the national rights holders, but all we can do is thank them for allowing us to be there and thank the Caps and the league for coming to that agreement. It would be wonderful. Best case, guys, he does it at a home game, a live game on Monumental where the national partners are working side by side with us. Everybody wins. That would be perfect. But you never know. It's hard to nail down. I had an interview with Cal Ripken, and when Cal was breaking 21-31, he could point to that date and say, there it is. Alex can't do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, JP and I like to believe that we kind of threw it out there and somebody heard us and ran with it.
We spoke it into existence to keep Joe B and Locker involved in some capacity.
We'll have a little taste of it. If it's not on that Monumental night where it's live, we'll have a little taste of it, and that's a great fallback position, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joe, thank you, man.
Hi, Joe.
Appreciate your time.
Guys, my pleasure. Let's do it again soon.
All right, brother.
We will.
Peace.
We will. That is Joe Beninati. You can give him a follow at JoeBPXP. Simply fantastic at what he does, and what a fun year it's been for the Caps.
It has been.
You get this Ovi chase right into the playoffs. It's going to be incredible.
There's so much awesome happening.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In sport right now, this is like the dizzying time where I'm going to tune in tonight. I'll be head on a swivel with Ovechkin's chase, which is, in my opinion, not getting enough attention. And you want to yell at me? That's fine. Happy to wear some of it. In general, I don't think this is getting the countdown. Oh my God, you're kidding me! That it deserves. This is like the level of the home run record. There are a lot of records in baseball. There's some that we know, whether it's a 56-game hit streak or, you know, what used to be 763 or you know, some of those numbers. But that consecutive game streak that became part of the everyday fabric where it was like this beautiful celebration of the countdown and then the ESPN's there all weekend and Cal Homer's against the Angels and you know, the All-Star game. The whole thing was just this constant celebration. I'm not feeling that. It's not hitting me in the same way. And I'm sitting there going, where is it? Where's my constant refresher? Where's my story every night on the worldwide leader? And I get that the sports times are different and everybody's exhausted of everything and everyone's over everything all the time. But I still feel like the NHL's kind of doing this business as usual. And let's obviously get down and talk about you know, the playoff chase, what the Ottawa Senators need to do to find you know, their foreground and play the great forecheck. No. An impossible record from a different time is about to fall. Do more, quickly, hurry up, and don't stop talking about it. Like, beat that into the ground. I feel like we're not even close to that, Tobes. I know that wasn't even the point of this topic, but now it's all coming out.
I'm interested when he gets within a game's worth. Like, if he's within three, right, where he can tie it with a Hattie, are they going to do the bit that Aaron Judge had when he was going to break the record? Which record was it? Just the AL home run record?
Yeah.
Or whatever. When they would cut away in the middle of a college football game, I'm trying to watch college football.
I'm doing Maxion on a Tuesday.
I do not care about what Aaron Judge is doing, and yet here I am forced to watch every Aaron Judge at bat on ESPN. Can I please get that for Ovi? Like, every single time he's on the ice, like, he could do it. He could do it. If he's within a goal, are we going to do that? Because you're right. Like, he could break it in the next week and a half. And how many people outside of the DMV know that? How many people outside of this area know that?
Yeah. I didn't even mean to stumble onto this because there's so much going on. It wasn't even the topic. But anybody else feeling that? 800-636-1067. I swear to you, this was not the plan, but I feel like I've now stumbled onto something. And again, I will fully admit, I was in a Nationals bubble here for the last weekend, but it just sort of feels like I haven't even done this. I'm going to do it live. I'll do it live. Go to NHL.com. Yeah, okay, it's right there on the front page. But you see my point. I'm joking.
I mean, yeah, but like, how many people are searching NHL.com right now?
Yeah, where's the tracker? Where's the sort of the coverage? Where's that constant wall to wall? And I understand he's not going to do it tonight or tomorrow, but the buildup. Think of the single season records that have fallen. Whether it was McGuire initially going 70 and 98, and Sosa right there with him. But it started when, you know, McGuire from the beginning had this chance, and he had a really good beginning of the season. Sosa wasn't on the radar until he had that June that was ungodly, whatever it was, 20 homers in June or something like that, right? So once he thrust himself into it, it became this chase, and it took over our televisions every day. Again, I get that coverage in sports are different, but it does feel like it's this afterthought that is not getting near the just due. And I went on this rant, I guess you want to call it, a couple weeks ago when this kind of came up, when the national televised game happened, and they were talking about, and Darren Pang's comment about the one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's impossible to take that as complimentary. It's impossible not to say that this is another opportunity, whether it's purposeful, consciously done is what I'm looking for, or if it's just happenstance, it's one guy's thing, but it's impossible to ignore some of the context of what's happened previously with the way that they've covered Ovechkin or haven't. And it's always got to be a ding. It's always got to be a knock. It's always got to be, like, look at the Canadian guys doing or whatever for this sort of Canadian-centered media league, right? And that's how they've covered it. I can't help but harken back to that. Like, well, I wonder if Sidney Crosby was about to cross this record, how much different it would be. I can't believe it would be like this.
So what I'm interested in is we just saw another one similar to this, where LeBron passed the 40,000 point mark.
Yeah.
And you felt like you saw all the time leading up to it. Now, it was usually within, you know, 50 points. So it was saying he could do it tonight. He might do it in the next two games. Maybe once Ovi gets under five, where, like, we know he's not scoring.
You're right. And it's fair to distinguish. It's not the same because it's, you know, points. You score 30 a game. You score one every other game on average. So I understand that to a degree. Think of him passing, talking about LeBron passing the Kareem.
Yeah.
You got those kind of updates. And if it's one of these hallowed sports records, there's just more about it. There just is.
Well, and I'm just curious. Like right now, you're right. I don't think it's getting enough. When he gets within a game's worth or two games worth, where if he has a hot streak and he goes four goals in two games, mm-hmm. are we seeing it more on ESPN? Like, I know Scott Van Pelt's going to talk about it because he's from the area.
Yeah.
But is a the 10 o'clock Sports Center going to have Ovi's just two goals away and that's the lead? Or is that half an hour in? Like, where are we with that? Because you're right. This should be one of the leading stories. March Madness is going to dominate a lot of this with some of the other stuff like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on right now. But outside of here, it doesn't feel like it's getting the shine that it should.
And so, I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here. NHL.com, that's right there on the front page. It's an Ovechkin goal tracker. It's goals to go. It's how much time and, or how close he is, etc. But I guess I'm looking at the sports shows, right? It's your regular scheduled on FS1. Aaron Rodgers did this hippie treatment, and he may or may not be a Steeler. On the other shoddy shows, it's not there. And I understand it's not the same. It's at the NHL, and it's always going to be, not always, but it's the fourth banana in terms of media allocation that it gets for national stuff. And you're right, it's not as sexy where you can tune in and see LeBron make 15, 16, 17 baskets in a given night. It's, sometimes it's a deflection, and John Walton's going, so we're not sure if it's Farivari, and it turns out it is a chip in for, it's like, I get it, it's not the same. But still. Right, I'm offering enough caveats, yeah. But I'm going, this should be celebration time.
And this is where, if you're hockey, you've got to be on these networks. I get that it's a little different, like TNT isn't going to have Kenny and Chuck talking about this. I get that. But ESPN is talking sports all day, mm-hmm. and when's the last time you heard Stephen A. mention this? Like, it just never does. If I'm Gary Bettman, I'm, hey, we are on your network.
Right.
A seminal moment, something that's going to be remembered in hockey history forever, is coming up hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Can we at least mention it?
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Going to talk some NCAA tournament with Chris Caputo, head coach at GW, coming up at 9 o'clock. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. You're giving me thumbs down. Cakes gave me thumbs up.
I mean,
What's going on over here?
Thumbs up from Valdez. I don't know.
He just
must have just dropped off, so I'm sure he'll call back.
Scheduled to join us here momentarily.
By the way, I saw our one-trick pony with a wonderful assist last night. Just beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
not very one-trick pony-like.
No, not very one-trick pony-esque.
Right?
Last time I checked.
Just made it look super easy.
Yeah.
No problem.
You really are upset about it. Cakes is really upset about it. Did it upset you when Joe B. seemed to defend Peng?
They're just being nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's
And I think that Peng's probably a nice guy.
That's Joe B. sticking up for another broadcaster.
Colleague.
That's
yeah.
what he's doing. And I believe they were also both goalies by trade.
Yeah.
Joe B. a goalie. Peng a goalie.
They're the goalie fraternity.
Yes, it's a very tight-knit community.
Coach Carbs, he defended him too. And I'm sure he's a nice guy. But he definitely had malintent with what he said.
He definitely did.
Cakes, are you part of the fraternity? You were a goalie, I believe, on JV soccer in 10th grade.
No, it's within the sport, JP. That's just a dumb question. Of course I don't feel any kinship with Logan
Thompson.
I just
wanted to bring up your 1 year. I don't remember you ever playing goalie, and then all of a sudden he came back and was on the JV soccer team playing goalie.
You have to be a little bit psycho to play goalie in any sport, but certainly in hockey.
Yeah. Soccer, I'd say a little less.
All right, we are joined by Spencer Carberry. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Morning, Coach.
Morning, guys.
We love talking to you after wins.
Congrats on the dub. Another home win.
He's
good either way, though.
Casually have 98 points at this point.
I can't remember what game it was after a loss, Coach, that we had you on, but you could tell by your voice you were pissed.
He was salty.
We like having you on after wins.
I just need a little bit of time to process, just a little time.
Right. Hey, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I'm just curious. What does your day look like today? It's off day. Home game tomorrow. I mean, I'm sure you practice and stuff, but what does the day look like for Coach Carberry?
So we were off day coming back from San Jose, so we practice. So we're off Sunday, practice Monday, play Detroit yesterday, Tuesday. We're practice today, Wednesday, play Philly, practice Friday because it's an early game Saturday, and then Sunday will be off. So today, get in fairly early and start to cut the film from last night and then build the meeting for this morning with the guys, which will be at 10:30, and then they go on the ice at 11.
You mean, and then what do you do?
You don't have to clean the garage or anything? Like, you know what I mean?
Not in season. He's not doing that in season.
I mean, come on.
No chance.
I got to bring the recycling bins back in.
right.
No. No. Then what we'll do is, so once practice finishes, we usually meet as a staff, and then we start to dive into the Philly stuff of getting prepared for tomorrow morning's meetings, which on a game day, those meetings will be more pre-scout orientated. So special teams, 5-on-5. So after practice today, we sort of shift our focus to Philly and the plan for tomorrow.
Now, I'm curious. So then when do you get home? I'm seriously curious. Let me take me through your day.
A day like today, I'll probably get home around 4, I would say.
All right,
I'll probably
nice.
Be here around 4.
Okay.
All right. So then
that's reasonable.
So then a little time with the kids, that kind of thing.
Dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Dinner. We'll get some time after school with the kiddos. I try to do pickup on days like this when we're home,
right,
so that I do can somewhat contribute.
Right.
Well, it's a busy time.
Yeah, so usually there's like a 3:50 pickup, so I'll do that, and then dinner, and then back at it tomorrow morning. Sometimes we'll watch some games. Like I'll look at the depending on what the kids are doing and what we got at home, usually we'll watch what's going on around the league.
Will the team do an NCAA bracket contest?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's they take it pretty serious. There's a whole setup to it. And yeah, there's a bracket going around.
All for fun, though. No money exchanging hands.
Fun.
I'm
all
sure that's
fun.
The case.
All for fun.
Coach, let's do a hypothetical. Let's go back in time. Okay, we're going to get into a hypothetical time machine. I'll set the scene for you. It's September 2024, training camp at MedStar. Okay, we're there broadcasting. Okay, you're on set with us.
I know exactly where this is going.
You do? All right.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to throw out a bold preseason Caps prediction while we're broadcasting. I'm going to look into my Caps crystal ball. And my prediction is Mikey and Pro are going to combine for 53 goals by mid-March.
What
would your reaction have been in the moment if I gave you that bold prediction? Because that's one that would have actually come true.
That would have been a very, very bold out on a limb prediction. And I would have looked at you with a bit of disbelief on my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I would have bought that. If it was a buy or sell, you know, sometimes they do it on those shows. It's a lot of goals, and it's not a slight at those two guys, because they've had potential, and I've seen it from day one in Hershey when they first came into the organization and turned pro. What I think it is it is so difficult to score in the National Hockey League, as we found out last year, as you find out every year. Like, it is hard to score in this league, so for those guys to be on the cusp of 30 each it's a crazy number. Like, that is a very, very impressive number to be able to score in this league. And so Yeah, that's, I don't know if I would have bought that.
Yeah, those guys are just doing remarkable work for so young in their careers. So you mentioned
unbelievable.
Yeah,
and Willie gets to 30 last night.
Yeah, like, that's what I wanted to touch on. So
yeah, I said it last night at the game, and I was thinking about it more this morning. And it's just it's amazing. You just don't. I don't think we wrap our head around like how difficult it is to score 30 goals in this league, and for him to do it at this point in his career, and all the other intangibles that he brings, and pro to be right on the cusp of him. It's amazing. Those guys have just had tremendous, tremendous season.
Yeah, I mean, Willie is just a specimen. I mean, he takes a puck to the face in the Ducks game on the road trip.
I know.
Again, he needs 20 stitches. Yeah. And then two nights later, he just goes out and ragdolls Zach Ostachuk. I think I'm getting his name correct. Like, he didn't have a prayer in that fight. So Willie puts him down with the quickness. And another thing from Willie, and I'm sure you and the coaching staff know this, his penalty minutes are way down this season. He just has 70 penalty minutes. He had 133 last year, and I know there's still a stretch of games to go, but like all those intangibles, he's not taking dumb penalties. Now, he'll stand up and fight when he needs to, or he feels like he needs to bring that spark for the team, but just an all-around really, like you called him like an elite player in the league.
Oh, without a doubt, he is. And I agree, too, the discipline inside of his game. He's moving his feet, taking way less penalties, which he looks at. And he's never really, for me, been a guy that's, like, taking penalties where you're shorthanded. But usually he's going with someone else to the box. But what he's learned to appreciate is we want him on the ice, not trading off with someone else in the penalty box, sitting there for 4 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is. So us being able to utilize him on the bench or on the ice and him being disciplined has been a huge benefit for him and for our team. And yeah, there's just, we've talked about him before. There's no player like him in the league. Like, you could maybe talk about the Brady Tkachuk, but I still think that Willie, with his penalty kill ability and as tough as he is and as much as he's able to affect the game with his presence, he has such a presence that the opposing team has to be aware of at all times. It's and to add the skill and the scoring, it's amazing what he's been able to do this year.
Joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. So for the first time in 11 seasons, the Caps play in a game with no penalties called on either team.
That's crazy.
The last time that happened was March of 2014. Was that a first for you, what happened last night at Capital One?
Really? 11 years.
11 years, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's surprising to hear that. I'm trying to think regular season, because I've played in a few of them in playoffs for sure. No power plays either way, but I can't remember if I've played in a regular season game without a power play either way.
So the refs swallow their whistles a little bit in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And players are smart. They're just more disciplined and make sure that they're responsible with their sticks. And you could feel that last night. Like, once the first kind of borderline, there's two or three plays that happen in the game that don't go called that are borderline. They're not blatant. They're just borderline. So the players are smart. Then they get a read for the game and a feel for, okay, they're going to let us play tonight. We can be right on the line. Don't go over it. But they're going to let us play. And that's what they can feel by the ref setting the standard of what's going to be called and what's not. And so the guys adjust really quickly. And there wasn't really, I mean, there was a trip on Mikey in the second, but then Mikey cross-checked their D-man right back. And so they just let both of them go. And so you say, okay, they're going to let the guys settle it themselves tonight.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry about his Washington Capitals team. Let's talk Ovi here for a moment. I don't know that we've really talked to you about how much he's on the ice. And I noticed this year he's on the ice a couple minutes less. Is that by design?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just trying to help him be able to be more effective with his 5-on-5 minutes.
And then can you possibly get him 8 goals tomorrow? Because I'm going to the game tomorrow. So that would be nice.
A big ask, JP.
That would be nice. Definitely would be nice.
It'd be a signature. The grade 8 with 8. History.
Yeah, that'd be quite a night.
So, Coach, Logan Thompson, as you put it in the post-game speech that I saw on Twitter, 30th effing win. They do have to bleep you out a few times after victories, which is fine. I'm cool with that. Most coaches have a salty mouth from time to time. It's all good. What a performance by him last night. And from some of your quotes from a few days back, it looks like we're going to be seeing less of the platoon with Chucky going forward as the team gets ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought LT, one of his best starts of the season last night, which we needed, because he made a bunch. That early save in the third period on Larkin was a massive save to keep that game 1-1 and let us settle into the third period. And there was a bunch of other ones throughout that game. I thought he was outstanding. So, and I don't want to, when I said that yesterday about the platoon and that, it doesn't necessarily see, yeah, Logan has had a phenomenal year and he's going to get a lot of opportunity, but it doesn't mean that, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that Chucky just takes a back seat and isn't going to play and we're going to go Logan 2 out of 3 or whatever it might be. The point I'm trying to make is that we're just going to evaluate these game by game, and it might not be the you know, default goalie rotation alternating each guy every night. And so that's where we're at. We're trying to make good decisions down the stretch with the goaltender position to set those guys up for success.
Carbs, this is a couple weeks late, but I don't think I asked you about it. But, you know, I know earlier in the season I told you I would get so, you know, anxious when we would go into overtime. I know it doesn't matter in the playoffs, you know, the shootout stuff. But the last time, I think it was like 10 days or so ago, I don't know, can't remember exactly, Stromer was awesome. He looked like a natural. Like
On the shootout?
Yes. Yeah. Right? Wasn't it Stromer?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Where's that been? That was great.
I know, so we revisited the shootout as a staff, and we sort of came up with a plan, and we met with our shooters, and our goaltender coach Scott Murray went through, you know, working with them on their individual. Mm-hmm. It's weird, like you think of the shootout, there's a little bit more, like the guys have a set sort of plan. We call it a path. So a path is like where they approach the net,
right?
And then the options off of that. And so I won't go crazy with this, but we did spend some time with our guys on it, and we sort of set an order of, okay, we're going to tell the guys when they're going to shoot. And so that was our first crack at it. So we were successful, and it was a great, great goal by Stromer. I remember that. It was you could just tell he knew exactly what he was doing and the options that he had off it.
So it's interesting. So, I mean, I don't want to belabor it either because it doesn't matter come playoff time, but it's just something that I noticed. So you sometimes you watch it and you think these guys are just winging it, but they're not. No, they're not. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. And they have, it's crazy. If you go through some of the top shootout guys, like Kuzi, obviously we saw for years, like had a specific path and plan when he went down. Most guys in the league don't just wing it. They have a specific plan and path. And so if, let's just say, a righty comes down the left side, cuts in, and then when they get to a certain spot, they know they have 3 options. So it might be like high glove, deke to the backhand, or, you know, fake shot to the 5-hole. And then they assess which of those 3 they're going to use in that moment. So usually it starts with their path of like how they approach the net, and then they can work off of that, not just having one, because the guys don't just have one option off that approach, because then you get locked in, and if the goalie takes that one away, then you're screwed.
Right.
All right, Coach, keep it going. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you, buddy.
That's Spencer Carberry, who's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. I do find it comforting that Coach Carberry's just like us. He knows that on a day when he's a little free, he's got to do a little dad responsibility so that the wife can carry the load.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, I got an opportunity to do pickup. I'll do it.
Yeah.
He's chipping in. Chipping in on the home front.
Of course. That's what you got to do.
But we can't get our guest waiting. Our guy, Jacob Chychrun, kind enough to join us here for his weekly spot. Jacob, good afternoon, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always good. Walk us through last night. You guys were tied 1-1 with Detroit until you weren't. That's kind of been the story this year, is if you let this Capitals team even a little bit of a glimmer of daylight, you're getting beat. That was so impressive, that flurry there in the third.
Yeah, it was. It was a game. I felt like we controlled the puck a ton. I think we had a lot of ozone time. I think we would have liked to generate a few more, high danger scoring chances, but we really controlled the pace of play for most of the game. And then I think in the third, we really wanted to try to just create more around their net, and we were able to have a really good third and put the game away. So it was a good effort.
You guys have been really good in the third period. Is there just a mentality there that going in you're going to just lock in? Like, how is it that you are able to be such a good team in that period to finish out games?
I don't know. We just got a thing going in the third. I think we, after the second, we always talk about how thirds are best. So there's something about it that we've had success that period all year, and it's almost something that gives us confidence, after the first two, going into, you call it our favorite period, I guess. We just like to, have an opportunity to go out, and whether it's come back or from, a deficit or close the game out. I just think we've done a good job of, both of those circumstances this year. And it's a period we just seem to have a lot of confidence with.
Jacob Chychrun with us here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer in for GP. Brought to you by Trusted Insight from Trusted Insiders, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Jacob, how hard is it? I mean, you guys are pros. Obviously, you're getting up every night, and it's such a grind that the season you guys go through. But it's to your credit. You've done so well. You're so far ahead in terms of points in the division and in the conference. Do you find it's hard to kind of keep as sharp without teams pushing you as directly? Or is it, no, thank goodness we can kind of let our foot off the gas a little bit? Walk me through that.
No, I don't think our mindset changes. I think, we still want to be, playing our best hockey going to the playoffs. So, there's still things we want to, continue to improve at. And, we had a stretch, fairly recently where we didn't feel like we were playing very good hockey. So I think, just continuing to, focus on our process, and we know how hard it's going to be, once the postseason comes around. So we want to continue to, keep the foot on the gas and make sure we're sticking with our game plan and our process and playing the way we want to. So that way, come postseason, we're not letting any habits slip, and we're not, we're not letting anything slip. We're just, sticking to the way we want to play, and it becomes, habits you just don't have to think about. You just go out there and you do on a consistent basis.
You mentioned game plan in there. Obviously, you're changing up, game to game, whoever you're facing. But it seems like no matter who you face, whatever the style needs to be, whether it's a 2-1 game, whether you need to get up and score 6-7 goals to win, you're able to do that. How much is there in-game adjustments made by Coach Carbs, or is it kind of stick to your game plan and see if you can just find a way to break through at the end?
It all depends. It all depends on the night, on the game, on, the way teams are, whether it's forechecking us or, how they're defending the neutral zone. There's always going to be some little adjustments. I think for the most part, there might be a couple different schemes we want to run, but for the most part, it's really only a couple schemes throughout the whole season. So there's, I'd say a few teams that play a little differently than most of the rest of the league. So, I think it's just LA was a big one that was, something you don't see very often, and they play very well in their system, and that was something that we, didn't have a very good game, but, we don't have to see them for the rest of the year, and if we do see them again, obviously pretty late in the postseason. So, it's just something that, you make these little minor adjustments when you need to, but for the most part, when we're playing our our style. We like to really, you know, impose our will and you know, kind of force the way we want to play down the other team and make sure we're dictating our pace and we're dictating, you know, the style of game that's being played.
Jacob, as you guys are getting ready every night to play, you mentioned there's an opponent skating against you. A lot of these teams are fighting for their playoff lives, like Detroit was, and certainly is here. But during some downtime, road trips, plane rides, you know, whatever, are you guys sort of maybe with a wandering eye thinking about maybe potential playoff matchups and teams you might be encountering?
Not yet. I mean, we obviously see how tight the race is in the East. Yeah. It just seems like it could be so many teams still. So, you know, it's not really something we're going to focus on until we get a little bit closer and you start to get a better idea of if it's going to be, you know, two or three teams. Right now it's like five or six that could be in there. So we're just a little far out. So not quite there yet, mm-hmm. but it will be interesting to see, you know, how this race goes to the end here.
Last night, Tom Wilson gets his 30th goal of the season, first time he's ever reached the 30-goal mark. I'm curious, you've obviously been in the league for a little bit now. You know the reputation that Tom Wilson had around the league. It seems like he's changed that a little bit with his ability to score goals now. What's it been like being a teammate with him and your thoughts on him, your first year hanging out with him?
Oh, he's a great guy, great teammate. You know, a guy that is he's the heart and soul guy. I mean, he's a guy that goes out every night, works his tail off, and is willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I think this year he's had an incredible year. It seems like he's just really feeling it with the puck on his stick and those scoring chances. He's bearing down and really making sure he's you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that he gets. I think he's done such a good job this year of producing, because he brings so many other, you know, intangibles to our team and, you know, to the game each and every night. So, you know, to get that scoring touch from him has been huge. And, you know, he's just, like I said, a guy that leads each and every night.
Another guy about to join him in the 30-goal club is Alexei Protas. And one of my favorite things in sports, Jacob, it just not just in hockey, but anywhere, is when you see a prospect and all of a sudden it clicks for that prospect, and they're no longer a prospect. Now they're a badass or a baller or, in this case, a great hockey player. What have you seen in terms of him? I know you weren't around for all of his growth process, but this guy looks like the real deal.
Yeah, I wasn't around for his growth process, but from what I've heard, it's just been an, you know, a remarkable offseason for Pro. I mean, he's really turning into just a dominant player out there in all three zones. I mean, he's so good defensively. He plays with, you know, probably the longest stick I've seen on a teammate, and he uses it so well defensively. And such a great wall player, making plays inside his zone to, you know, to get pucks out of our end and get ourselves out of trouble. And obviously, you know, in the Ozone, he's special. Just a big frame, uses it really well in front of the net, and has such great scoring touch. I mean, he's so poised with the puck right now in those in tight areas where you got to, you know, find a way to get it in the back of the net. And he's just been extremely fun to watch and fun to be his teammate. He works at it. You know, you see him every day in practice. He's out there early. He's out there late. He's working on the little details, and it's certainly paid off for him. And, you know, he's a humongous part of this group.
Talking with Caps defenseman Jacob Chychrun here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer in for Grant today. Obviously, the big story around the team right now is Ovi's goal chase. I'm curious, outside, we talk about it seemingly every day. It's something that kind of involves, you know, the whole DMV area. Everybody's thinking about it every single day. For you guys on the team, is it something that gets brought up? Is it something you think about, or is it business as usual?
Yeah, no. I mean, we don't really talk about it. I mean, it's something that obviously it is such a huge deal. Yeah, in the room, you know, it's just you just don't think about it. You don't talk about it. You just, I think when you're out there and, you know, you got an opportunity to find him, you're going to find him. I think you'd probably be doing that whether he's on the chase or not, because mm-hmm. he's just, you know, best goal scorer of all time. And he, you know, that's the way can really be a game changer. So you want to have the puck on a stick when he's, you know, in those scoring, you know, high danger, you know, areas. So, but, you know, for the most part, it's not something that we talk about or are obsessed with like, you know, the media is. I think we just like to focus on what we got to do as a group and as a team. And you know, the rest of that stuff takes care of itself, you know, as it has for all his whole career. So, yeah, we're obviously excited for him and pulling for him, but it's not something that we talk about internally too much until we're asked about it each and every day, like you said, from the media. So that's really it.
That's our bet on that. But Jacob, it'd be one thing, and just this is my last one for you. If you guys were a rebuilding club, you know, or in last place in the Eastern Conference, and this was like ceremonial, you know, like when you go to a golf tournament, it's like, this guy was good 30 years ago. Here's the opening tee shot. It was kind of this gimmick. This is a dude that's still doing it at 39. It shouldn't be possible, but here it is happening. And it's not a gimmick. You guys are you know, a President's Trophy contender, the best team in the Eastern Conference, and awesome. So it's like, if this was a gimmick, I'd understand it, but it's not. You guys are just making good hockey plays, and it happens that guy's still an elite goal scorer.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, the pace he's still scoring at. Yeah, it's just he's still got that knack for finding the back of the net, and you know, it's been a, you know, obviously a big part of our success this year. I mean, you know, the clip he's scoring at is impressive, and especially for his age. And yeah, I mean, we're going to need that down the stretch too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think O's that kind of guy as well, that, you know, has that even second gear when it comes to, you know, postseason. I know he's a big boy, and I know he likes to throw his weight around. And I know, you know, even from watching him in the past, like, you know, come postseason, you see even another gear from him. So, yeah, it's exciting. You know, I think we're, like I said, really focused on closing out this regular season with a, you know, strong finish and bringing our best into the postseason.
Jacob, appreciate the time, man. Always good to chat. Good luck against Philly tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, nice chatting, and we'll see you next week.
You got it, brother. Talk to you next week. There he goes. That is Jacob Chychrun. IT Cadre's trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. Love chatting each and every week with Capstar defenseman Jacob Chychrun. I think any one of these times he comes on is going to announce the extension that the Capitals signed
please,
it to.
Please.
I really like that. I promised Grant I wouldn't, like, pester him this week, but, like, next week we're going to have to ask him again about it. Could you please just sign here long-term? You're great. I love watching that dude play. He is quickly turned into a Randy Douye.
All right, John Walton joins us now, the voice of the Washington Capitals. You can follow him at John Walton PXP on the Rude Guest Hotline. John, another game, another big win for the Washington Capitals, and they have clinched the playoffs. How are you, sir?
Doing well, and yeah, clinching playoffs and being the first team to do so after last year being the last team to do so on the very last game of the year, and about 3 minutes left in the third period. So much different this time. The Capitals are the first team since 1980 to be the last team to clinch the year before and the first the following year. So a lot of improvement. Went over Philadelphia, 46 on the year, and still got a chunk of games left here, so got 13 to go. So very, very optimistic that this will truly be one of the best teams in terms of standings points the Capitals have had in 50 years of hockey here.
You look at this team right now, John, a lot more guys on the team that are more effective, which I think makes it harder for other teams to defend them. Do you see the same where you have multiple guys being able to score at any time?
Yeah, I mean, B-Mitch, that's really the hallmark of this team is, yeah, Alex Ovechkin's been able to keep scoring, but Alexei Protas is a goal away from 30 and a breakout season for him. Connor McMichael has a shot of getting toward 30. You've got Tom Wilson for the first time in his career at 30 goals. Yeah. So they've got a lot of guys that are scoring a lot of different ways and a lot of different places. They've gotten a lot of offense from the blue line, too. And Jacob Chychrun's got 18 goals. I mean, as a defenseman, if you get to 20, that's a big number. So they've scored more goals than any team in the league. They're the best third-period goal-scoring team in the league. That'll win you a lot of games. So they're doing it a lot of different ways. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. I got to keep drinking the hot tea and have the throat lozenges because they certainly may give me a little bit of a workout, but I'll take it. It's been a lot of fun.
I love that. You know, one stat that I've made a point of kind of keeping an eye on this year, because the hockey hipsters last year were such jerks about the Caps getting in with a negative goal differential. And listen, last year's Caps team wasn't great. They just had absurd goaltending the second half of the season, and they snuck in as an 8 seed, right? The current 8 seed projection would be Montreal. They have a minus 17 goal differential. So everybody that gave them a hard time last year, just shut up. That's what the 8 seed is generally. But this year, the Caps are plus 73. John, you've called these games for a long time. You've seen this hockey team during all of its eras in the OV time. Does this – hockey's a crazy sport. I'm not talking about the playoffs. You never know what the hell is going to happen. But does this seem like maybe the best team of all these teams?
You know, it's tough to compare. I mean, I think in terms of just raw firepower, I mean, if you look at the President's Trophy winners in 2016, 2017, I mean, the crazy thing is, and this is how crazy hockey is, really, if we really get down to it, the Caps' best team in that era wasn't 2018. It really wasn't. Like, right. they were a better team in 2016. I think they were a better team in 2015. And they were kind of getting to the end of the arc there. It's like, or, you know, they're down 2-0 to Columbus. I mean, at the beginning of that 2018 playoff, it felt like they might be done. As, you know, rebuild and, you know, start over maybe. And they end up winning the whole thing. So some of it is bounces and some of it is just raw offense. I mean, when TJ Oshie was getting 30 goals and Alex was getting 50 and Nick Backstrom was getting 100 points, that's a very, very good hockey team. And Barry Trotz's time here, that seemed to be a regular thing. Spencer Carberry has this team in the truest sense of the word. This is a wonderful team to be around. There isn't a Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl or that really, really top-end guy. I mean, Alex was that guy, but, you know, at 39, he's not that guy anymore. But he is contributing to the cause, and so is everybody else. And forwards 1 through 12 and defensemen 1 through 6 and both goalies, they're ready to go to war. Spencer Carberry used almost those exact words yesterday before the game. You know, we're ready for it, and that's how they win games, because it's a different person every night. So in terms of best team, in the team sense, yeah, they might be. In terms of, like, offense, it's maybe a little bit more of a gray area, but they're fun. They really care for each other. I've never seen a tighter group of guys, and I've been here 14 years. I've never seen anything quite like it. They play for each other. They pull for each other, both goalies, regardless who's playing. The other guy's their biggest cheerleader sitting on the bench. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. And if team has anything to do with it, and B-Mitch, you know that. I mean, you got a close group of guys. You can accomplish a lot. You know, that's what I think we're hoping for here.
Yeah. We're talking with our friend John Walton, Caps play-by-play. You can hear his call of the games right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can follow John at John Walton PXP. John joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Well, and John, one thing that I'm really interested, listen, they're playing good hockey in Raleigh right now. The Canes have won 8 in a row. The Panthers look really good. You got the Leafs and the Lightning. Like, that other side of the bracket's going to be good. The next two games are serious bangers. You got Florida, defending cup champs, coming to town tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We're all going to be locked in on College Hoops all weekend, but you got to watch that game tomorrow at 5.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go to Winnipeg Tuesday night. Panthers are leading in the Atlantic Division. Winnipeg is tied with Washington in this President's Trophy chase. Each have 100 points. What do you want to see these next two games?
I think a lot of structure. I mean, at the end of the game last night against the Flyers, Spencer Carberry wasn't very happy with the way it went. They got away from some of their details, and the Flyers looked like they were going to just roll over and be finished, and they weren't. They came out firing in the third, and they're a proud team, and the Caps weren't as ready for that as they probably needed to be, and they end up out shooting them 17-2 and kind of had them on the ropes there at the end. So I think that when you look at that, you want to have everybody playing their best hockey down the stretch, and you really want to do it against the best teams. But I think when you're playing Florida, and certainly on Tuesday in Winnipeg, that is arguably the biggest regular season game, not just for Washington, but in the NHL schedule as a whole. That's best on best. They're the two best teams in the league. It's not particularly close. It's going to be in Winnipeg. The Jets got them here in D.C., like a little bit of payback and get a win on their rink. That's going to be a fantastic game. So I think just being able to continue to produce offense, to continue to play good defensive hockey. Goaltending, I think Logan Thompson's going to get a little bit more here down the stretch. I think he could very well get these next two. Charlie's from Minnesota, and the Wild are up next on Thursday. I would think Charlie's going to get that one. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if Logan got the next two. These games are big, and he's got 30 wins, and in a lot of ways he's been the hot hand to take nothing away from Charlie. But Logan is the guy who's 30-4, and these are games that you really want to lock down. And you want him playing his best hockey as we come down the stretch here, too. So a lot to look for, I think, but you're right. Big game against the Panthers, the defending champs in town, and the Caps have handled them pretty well so far this year. They've beaten them twice. Hopefully they can do it again, and then we'll head to Winnipeg.
John, this thing is getting down to the wire. Alex scored again at 7 now for breaking the record. Are you thinking this thing can happen?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think that when you look at the
13 to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's right on the edge. I mean, if you're handicapping, like, when does it happen? Like, this is not going to happen in the month of March. It's probably not happening at the beginning of April either. This is getting down to those last couple of games, which, incredibly, game 82 for this team, where if you took the math, you say, okay, 0.5, 0.55 per game, whatever it is, you're getting down to really that last game of the year. Fellas, the last game of the year is in Pittsburgh. Can you imagine a world where he gets 895, but he does it in Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby sitting there on the other side? I mean, it's at least a possibility when you get down to the end. I really want to see it happen at home. I know everybody wants to see it at home, but if you extrapolate it out, you look at those last three games, like, okay, well, you got a home game or two in there, but there, the last game. Let's try and get it before game 82. That would be good for everybody, I think.
Yeah, dude, I still think I'm clinging to the last home game against Columbus, and I know that leaves him too short, but it would be his first ever goal is against Columbus, and then he breaks the record against Columbus, and it would be at home. I don't know why, but I just feel some level of synchronicity with that. And then I wonder if he does get it early, do you think they let him sit a little going? How do hockey teams handle, like, in our world in football, you want to keep everybody fresh, but if you've clinched everything, by the time you get to the end, maybe you give guys a little bit of a break. How does hockey handle that?
It's different, but that particular, like at the end, the only real version of load management would be, and Alex has done this in years past. I remember it's probably 8 or 9, could be even 10 years ago now. We were in St. Louis, and we had a game. It was the year of the big snowstorm. We had like 20 inches of snow, and a couple of games got wiped out. And one of those games got pushed to the end of the year, and poor Anaheim had to fly here from Orange County for one game on the last day of the year, which was not great for them. But we were in St. Louis, and the Caps were coming home, and it was a back-to-back, and Ovi was sitting on 47 goals. And they say, you know, he likes sitting out that last one if he's got, you know, numbers are squared away, but he's like, he needs 3 for 50. I think he's probably going to be playing in these last two. And he goes out in St. Louis and gets a hat trick in about 25 minutes and took game 82 off, and like,
I love that.
There's nothing more Ovi than that. So he ends up with 50. You could look at the end of the year, and for anybody with bumps and bruises, not just Alex, but anybody where you've got everything wrapped up, if you've got any nagging injuries or anything, you need a little bit of extra healing time, you'll see some guys sit. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, the Caps, they've already clinched. So the only thing left is really division title, you know, home ice through second round, third round, hopefully all the way through. I fear not the President's Trophy. I know a lot of fans do. I said, listen, I would rather them have home ice for four rounds and being able to have that extra home game if they need it. So, and be playing the right way. But having said all that, I think you will see some guys get rested just because it's a long year, and you may see a little bit of that down the stretch, but mainly just if guys are injured, not so much for just load management, just to have a night off.
Well, load management is an NBA thing, and it's junk, and hockey guys are the opposite. Neil Greenberg, a friend of the program.
If anybody needs it, hockey guys need it.
Yeah, they actually need it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you know Greenberg, John. Neil Greenberg's friend of the program. He just tweeted out, Ovechkin watch is at 888. I have the most likely games for him to break the record. April 6th at the Islanders, April 12th at Columbus, April 10th at home against the Hurricanes, April 13th at home against the Blue Jackets, April 2nd at the Hurricanes. And Greenberg's model allows 15% chance it doesn't happen this year. Do you Do you feel like it happened? I had been steadfast that I thought it was happening, and then when he didn't get one against Detroit the other night, was the first time I had a little bit of pause.
It is, I mean, listen, it's a hard thing for anybody to do at any point, even for the NHL's top players, to put those kind of numbers together in a stretch. And he's trying to do it at 39 years of age. Yeah, there's a chance it doesn't happen. But everything that he has been throughout his career has been about rising to the occasion. And I thought last night, you know, the Flyers are a team that he's always played well against. So he ends up getting that first period goal. He finds a way. He's got 52 goals against Philadelphia in his career. That's just insane. Wow. But second most in any single team that he's faced. But when you look at the teams that are coming up, there are a couple back-to-backs. The Columbus home and home. You got a game at Boston, at Carolina. You got to keep plugging away. I think when you look at it big picture, go, wow, not sure, we'll see. But when you look at it game by game, say, you know what? Big man just needs a goal tonight. And if he gets it, then the pressure's off. He's feeling better about things. I think you could see that last night, where it's, you know, been a couple games and the meter's running and you're coming down to the end of the season, but you could see the relief, I thought, as much as the jubilation. And like, hey, all right, got one. 888, let's go. And I think that's, you know, the way it's going to be the rest of the way. You know, whatever game it ends up being, wherever you are in that night, that's all you can control in one night. If you can get any night you can get a goal, you're one closer, and it also affords you the opportunity of having a game where you don't get one, and it's okay. And I think we just play that game from now until mid-April.
John, we will be listening for this Panthers game and then definitely. Winnipeg game, and I can't wait for that. I've told my wife that we're going to watch Caps play Winnipeg, and boy, is she excited. real quick, though, I have two non-hockey things to ask you about, Walton. One, yes. How's your bracket looking? Now, we used to have a Caps player on every week. I'm aware there's a fantasy football league in that dressing room. I am guessing there's a bracket in that dressing room. Of course, no cash ever exchanges hands. But how's the brackets looking? How excited are the boys for this time of year with hoops?
The guys, I think, are pretty excited. You know, one of the rites of hockeydom come springtime are NCAA brackets, and Masters pools are pretty popular as well. So those things are happening. I'm ashamed to say that I did not do a bracket this year. Nothing, because I never get a chance to really sit down and watch. I did happen to notice we've got Katie Fleury, our studio host, is a Clemson grad. I do know that the Tigers did not fare well. I do know that.
They scored 13 points and won the whole half, John.
Yeah, I saw the Clemson Tiger mascot shaking his head sideways, and so we did have a little fun at Katie's expense on that. But other than that, I know nothing. I know less than nothing, and I depend on people like you guys to tell me what's up.
Well, guess what, John? We don't know anything either.
Yeah, I watch a lot, John. I watch a lot,
and I'm
last in our pool right now. So that's the nobody way. Knows.
See, I used to do it a lot. Like, I used to run the pool when I was in Hershey. I used to run the bracket there, and I never came close to winning. So I don't know. Maybe knowledge isn't powerful anyway. But
it might not be. All right, this is the last thing, and I'm gonna confess something. Left hand up. I am an idea guy. I am very rarely an execution guy. So I talk about stuff and get excited and then just completely forget and go a different direction. I'm like a child in a field that sees a butterfly. I just run the other way, right? However, I actually followed through on something, and it's related to John Walton.
What was that?
John, do you remember?
I'm terrified.
Don't be terrified. I think you'll be excited. I believe it was last week when you were kind enough to give us a few minutes for NBC4, and we did that interview, and you mentioned fly fishing. That, you know, you grew up in Minnesota, right? Growing up, you like to fishing. Some of the boys on the team like to go fly fishing, and nobody knows where to go fly fishing in the D.C. area.
Okay. Well, you've discovered a place to go fly fishing.
Not exactly. What I told you was I have a buddy. Shout out to my friend Steve Lynn, who goes fly fishing all the time. I see it on his Instagram page. Uh-huh. And I actually followed up with Lenny. I said, yo, can you shoot me an email about the fly fishing stuff so I can send it to the Caps guys? And, I mean, sometimes the universe knows what it's doing. He literally emailed me this morning at 11 as you were joining the program. So Otherwise, I would have completely forgotten, never forwarded the email. But I now have this email to forward to you. Would you like to tell me your email address over the air to probably thousands of people listening, or would you prefer to text it to me?
I think texting would probably be good there. I get enough junk email as it is, but yeah, let's do that. And I'm happy to share with my outdoor enthusiast Charlie Lindgren on that. He is.
I think it's a place out towards Front Royal.
So here's what
Greg. I think Greg does it.
Here's what I can tell you. There's a book, Washington D.C. area. Now, John, I'm gonna confess some. I know nothing about this. Is trout fishing? Is that what you're looking for?
I mean, it can be. Okay. I think the fly fishing part, I don't know that I'll have to get whatever. I mean, where we come from, where Charlie and I come from, it's walleye. But there's
I don't think we got walleye here
in Front Royal. So
yeah, you're looking for the Rose River or Susie Q Escataba Farms. I'm going to send you the email. thank you for your time, Walton. Appreciate it,
John. You're truly a details man, JP. I appreciate that.
That's the great John Walton. Give him a follow at John Walton PXP. When we come back, we got brackets, baby.